Happy New Year and welcome to BunSports.com for 2015. I'm Jacob Bunn as we embark on another year of sports action. Of course, college football season pretty much wrapped up, but we do have one final game, and it's a pretty big one. We'll talk about it over the next week. The college football professor joins me today, and we are going to talk about what happened last week as New Year's Day. I'm sure you're digesting whatever you ate for New Year's Day and still probably getting over the Christmas and New Year's holiday rush, so to speak, and the SEC kicked off several bowl games, and it did not go well, at least didn't go well for some of the top teams in the West. We'll talk about that and more with the college football professor today, but since we last talked last week, the SEC was able to win a couple of bowl games. Texas A&M defeated West Virginia, Arkansas defeated Texas, and Georgia handled Louisville well. So there were some good spots for the SEC, but the bad started Tuesday when LSU got beaten 31-28 by Notre Dame. TCU slaughtered Ole Miss 42-3. Mississippi State, no luck with Georgia Tech, 49-34. And then New Year's Day, it continued. 34-31 in overtime, Wisconsin was over Auburn. Missouri did get the win, 33-17 over Minnesota. And then Alabama, of course, in the college football playoff and was not able to get the victory, 42-35. The Ohio State Buckeyes get the win there. It just wasn't the kind of bowl season that SEC fans were hoping for. So I'll bring in the professor now, and I'll just ask a general, what were your thoughts New Year's Day as you watched these games go one after the other, not in favor of the SEC?
Well, I think the first thing, Jacob, as I reflect back to the beginning of the season when Texas A&M was being slated as a team that was a sure shot for the four-team playoff, and we at that time, Jacob, said, let's don't have any knee-jerk reactions.
You did. You wrote that.
I think at the same time, here we are after New Year's Day, some people having knee-jerk reactions about the Southeastern Conference. But I think that's exactly what they are. Let's don't bring conclusions too quickly. But we have to say that there's some shockers and surprises.
Sure.
I think the Ole Miss TCU game is a shocker. It was amazing to me that Ole Miss played as poorly as they did. Now, I think that Ohio State beating Alabama was a surprise. But Ohio State's a very good football team. Alabama's a very good football team. Probably Alabama should have won the game, but they didn't play with the same kind of intensity that Ohio State played with. Now, I can't explain that. It's just these things happen. That's why we play these games.
Would you say that the Ole Miss TCU score, 42-3, and it wasn't even that close. I mean, TCU basically shut it down in the second half. In the fourth quarter, they scored zero. Would you say that that was the most surprising of the games, or would you go Alabama? Would you go Mississippi State? What would you say was most surprising?
By far was the Ole Miss. And I'll say it this way. I'm not taking anything away from TCU. They played a really good football game, and they're a good football team. So I'm not in any way slighting them. But Ole Miss in that game did not look like a good football team. That's what I'm talking about, is they didn't look like a good football team. Didn't look like they had a good plan. They had no rhythm. And so, therefore, they got run out of the stadium, so to speak.
So do you think these losses, and again, the overall record was 7-5. The SEC had a winning record. By the way, 7 wins, that's a record. No other conference has ever done that. The SEC tied its own record at 7 conference wins. So that's something to be proud of for sure. But as we know, I mean, let's not sugarcoat things. The top teams did not perform like they should have performed. So my question to you, is this a product of the SEC perhaps having – was it as good as we thought it was? Are other conferences better than we thought they were? What do you think the deal is here?
Well, let's look at it this way. What was the record of the SEC East?
5-0, undefeated.
Okay. What was the record of the SEC West?
2-5.
What was the record when they played each other during the year?
Yeah, it was overwhelming. I think the East won twice.
So all of a sudden we're going to say the East is better than the
Georgia,
West?
I think.
When you look at it that way, the West totally dominated on the football field the East during the season. So all of a sudden, we can't say, well, the East is better than the West. This is just something that happened. And I think if you go beyond that, that's knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, let's talk about Alabama. They were, of course, the team in the college football playoff, and they were the team on the largest stage, on the biggest pedestal, and frankly, the team everybody thought would win. I mean, of all those teams, I think everybody thought that Alabama would have probably the best road to get to that national title game, and it would be a huge matchup with Oregon. Obviously, Ohio State was better than we thought, but Alabama didn't play to their performance standard either. So what were the problems for the Tide Thursday night?
Well, the first thing, I think you're right. Ohio State's a very good football team. They have good running backs. They have good defense. They have good. Their quarterback played well. They have really good receivers. So taking nothing away from them. But we can look at the Alabama game, and there were just some things that didn't go well for them, and it was their mistakes. Ohio State was prepared for what they were trying to do. But let's just take a couple of plays, Jacob. Let's take, for instance, Alabama had a 21-6 lead, right? And on a kickoff, they kicked the ball off, and Reuben Foster, as he's done all year, goes down and makes one of these kind of tackles that stimulates the team, causes them to, you know, get excited, to get out of their doldrums, so to speak. And that would have happened except for one thing. One of Alabama's other players came over the guy that Foster had tackled and started taunting him, picking up a 15-yard penalty, and it changed the momentum right there. So those are the kind of things that happened during the game.
281 yards rushing for Ohio State. Ezekiel Elliott had much of that, and then, of course, Cardale Jones added his own rushing numbers as well, especially on third down in the middle of the game when it counted. Cardale Jones, a first-year quarterback, sophomore, big quarterback, was able to get those first downs for Ohio State. And I think that was the difference in the game for the Buckeyes. And, you know, the Big Ten, they've been much maligned. I mean, we've knocked them here repeatedly on this show and talked about how their teams have been proven to be inferior from the other conferences, but especially the SEC. And I'm not saying, of course, the Big Ten top to bottom still doesn't compare to the SEC, but this was a big win for them and a good chance to get back on the national stage. And so will Monday night be another opportunity, if they can win a title, be huge for that league.
No question about that. And I think the Big Ten now will do a lot of crowing in the offseason.
Sure.
They've probably earned their right. Yeah. But, again, I think it's a knee-jerk reaction when we begin to make too much out of it. But let's look at something else, Jacob. You remember when Alabama was preparing to play Mississippi State? And Mississippi State was the number one team in the country at that time. And Alabama, if they were to defeat Mississippi State, then they would have to defeat Auburn. Then they'd have to win the SEC championship game. Then they'd have to win a first-round playoff game. Then it would have to win the final game, the championship game. And at that time, if you remember, on our show, we talked about the fact that it was going to be very, very difficult for Alabama to win those five games in a row. Alabama did not have what we might call one of their most elite teams. And they had some players that were really playing well, but they were average in their positions. And we at that time did not think it would be very difficult for Alabama to win five straight games against those kind of opponents.
It ended up that they could not pull that off, you're right. And Alabama did get the SEC championship this year. They were able to beat Missouri for that. And the SEC champion has represented its league the eight previous years before this in the national championship game. The first seven of those were, of course, when they won the national title game. And you have to give credit to Urban Meyer. And you talked about the Big Ten crowing in the offseason. They'll be celebrating a national championship perhaps in Columbus. And in Ann Arbor, they'll be celebrating a coach who's never won a game yet, but they think that he will do quite well. But you have to give credit to Urban Meyer. I mean, the guy he won two national championships in 3 years at Florida. He's back in the Big Ten. He's at Ohio State, and he's taken a program that was okay, but it had gotten a little adrift under Jim Tressel, and he has brought that to the national title game. And if he wins it, that's a big statement for him as one of the top coaches in college football with three national titles and two different schools.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I'll tell you this, Ohio State was really prepared for that Alabama game. They were prepared. You have to give them credit for their execution, just the things they did. They really did well. But let's look at one other game just to when we start looking at these things. You know, when LSU was defeated by Notre Dame, I wasn't surprised at necessarily that LSU didn't play that well. I was just really surprised that LSU's defense played as poorly as they did. Well, I didn't know at the time that their defensive coordinator was on his way out of town, probably had his suitcase packed and it looked that way. And I've never seen, well, it's been a long time since I've seen an LSU team play that poorly on defense.
It was bad. And John Chavis, as you mentioned, as you alluded to there, he went from LSU to Texas A&M. A big storyline within the league is he tries to rebuild a Texas A&M defense that's been very bad, played very poorly the last couple of years. So you're right, a big loss there. But LSU has not looked good all year, and especially on defense, and there are some major issues that are going to have to be addressed in Baton Rouge before next season, and that's not just on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to have to figure out the quarterback position. So my final question, and we'll conclude today's show with this, what going into 2015 and going into this next season, obviously we're not there yet, and we're a long way. This season is not over yet, but what do you look at as the top of the league? What do you who right now would you say are the teams to beat in 2015?
Well, I think as we go into it, I would just off the top of my head, I would say that Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M maybe be the teams that might be the elite teams next year. Now, we'd have to look at a lot of things: the recruiting, how many players go to the NFL. What happens during off season? All those kind of things go into it before we're ready. But just from my vantage point at this time, I would say that Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M would be the teams that I would see as really being the elite teams next year.
College football professor, thank you. We will be back next week. The professor will be with us on Tuesday, and we will recap the national championship game, the first ever college 14 playoff in college football. Culminates, of course, with Ohio State and Oregon next Monday night at 7:30 on ESPN. We will recap it here at BunSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn. We will see you next time.